Welcome to the Every Nation Rosebank Church podcast. At our church, we honor God, make disciples, and transform nations. For more information about our church, visit everynationrosebank.org and don't forget to subscribe.
We're going to go right into the series. It's called For Such a Time as This. And I was thinking about how to choose a king or a queen. And I realize that we always have to inquire of the King of Kings. Amen? Whenever we need to make choices, we get to inquire of the King of Kings. And so as we get ready to vote, let's inquire of the King. The book of Esther is around being invited into the king's presence and the consequences of the queen's refusal to enter or submit to the king. But praise God, we have direct access to the King of Kings, and we are invited. Hebrews 4 verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly into the throne room of grace, and there we will find grace and mercy to help in time of need." And more than ever, we need God's help to direct us, to guide us, to give us wisdom and understanding. Amen. God is always working behind the scenes to get our attention and to bring about restoration, transformation, and freedom. I just want to say to you, I think if you know me by now, I like to bear it all. I like to share my failures and my weaknesses, and I'm going to do that today as well. I think when we can relate to things, then we know that God is doing a work. Amen? Yeah. So my first brush with apartheid was when I was a little girl. Now, I grew up in a colored community, went to a colored school, colored church, colored beaches. Only ever interacted with colored people. Never knew what was happening outside of the colored community. There was some craziness happening in the colored community, but there was also a sense of belonging, a sense of community. So my first brush with apartheid was my mom took me on a trip to town. I was just a little girl. And in those days, the buses were marked. It was either whites only, or it was whites downstairs and coloreds upstairs. Or it was coloreds only, and that meant you had to wait for hours for the bus. On this particular day, a bus came, arrived, and Mom and I, she held my hand, and we got into the bus and went to sit downstairs. Immediately, the bus conductor and the bus driver came to let us know that this child has to go upstairs. And there was a big commotion about me sitting downstairs in that bus. I didn't know what was going on. But I kept saying to my mom, "Mom, I'll go upstairs. Mom, I'll go upstairs." And she says, "No, you are sitting downstairs." To be honest with you, I don't remember what transpired after that. But I just remember feeling ugly, rejected, and ashamed. You know, I never spoke to my mom about what had happened and why there was all this commotion about me having to go upstairs. Later on in life, I just assumed that my mom always sat downstairs in that bus. And because she was fair-skinned, they never asked her to go upstairs. And I started to feel rejection from that height. But God has an amazing plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. The next time I had a blow with the same rejection was I had just arrived in Johannesburg, excited about being here. It was a new beginning for me. I had a friend that had moved to Johannesburg prior to me coming. And I phoned him up and I said, hey, I'm here. What's happening? And he said, oh, I'm so excited to have you. I'm picking you up on Saturday. We're going to the club. I think it was Plum Crazy, the club was called. And I was excited because they knew I love to dance. Wherever I went, it was just about dancing. And all excited. Saturday he came, picked me up. I took a friend of mine with me. He brought some friends along, and off we went to Plum Crazy. And when we got there, me all excited. It's time to dance. It's time to jigger. Yes, immersion, where did that come from? But anyway, got there all excited. First one at the door. Sorry, you can't enter. And I'm there with all my friends, and they saying, but Moshe, but we've been coming here all this time. But you see, they were fair-skinned, even though they were colored as well. And I just realized I hated this color. I hated who God created me to be. The rejection, the shame, the guilt, the condemnation that just overwhelmed me that evening. And I said to my friend, please take me home. They said, no, we'll go to other clubs. I said, no, I'm done. And I went home. And I sat in that flat and I just felt so defeated, so alone. Not long after that, I met this amazing man, my husband Mark, and we got married. My mom-in-law and I went into town. We were going to do some shopping. I needed to use the bathroom. She said, oh, I know one. I always go down there. And off we went. And when I entered the bathroom, the cleaner said to me, you're not white. You can't get in here. And again, I just felt the rejection, the shame. And my mother-in-law said to me that I've been coming here all this time. And I didn't even respond to her. I just felt, but you're fair. And so people don't recognize or know that you are a colored woman. And it tormented me for many years of my life. And then what happens to us? We withdraw. And we never speak up. And I remember I was so desperate for the toilet, I said to the woman, I'm white man, you know. And she pulled me, yeah, right. Out you go. And I left there just feeling so deflated. It was hard. And then I had joined this amazing company that I worked at. And gosh, I loved the people that I was working with. They loved me. I learned so much at that company. And then it was Christmas time, and they were inviting us all to a Christmas party, and it was to be held in a restaurant in Johannesburg. And I remember going to the HR lady and I said to her, please, will you find out from that restaurant if coloreds are allowed to come in here? Always expecting to be rejected. And she was quite agitated with me. What do you mean? Everybody's invited. You saw all going. I said, please, just double check that it's okay. I don't know if she checked. But we all eventually went to the restaurant. There was so much food. It just looked amazing. But you know, when you know that something's about to happen, then you just lose your appetite. Because I was so waiting for somebody to come and say, you can't enter here. There was only three of us, myself, the tea lady, and the driver that were non-white in that company. Nothing happened. Nobody called me out. But what I'm saying to you is, this is when it happens to us, we just feel the shame. We just feel, you know, rejected. And so the Lord had to do a long work in me. Over the years, I had struggled with rejection, so I'd always keep my mouth shut. I always felt like I didn't have a voice. Don't want to speak up for myself. Nobody listens. And it makes you bitter. It makes you angry. But God, when He works in our heart, He does a work in our heart. You see, we can't give out what we don't have. All I experienced was rejection after rejection after rejection, and that is what I was inviting. But when the Lord did a work in my heart, and He said to me, Mercia, I need you to love the people you come in contact with. I had to confront so many issues in my life, but I did it. I started loving everybody. I spoke about I'm highly favored. Wherever I go, I'm accepted. And that's exactly what I started to experience. Even in this church, I always feel accepted. I feel like I'm a part of the team. I feel loved. But it's also because I know the love of God, and I know that I am loved, and so I give love wherever I go. So we always have to look at the root cause of why we feel the way we feel. And God always wants to bring us out. He always wants to bring joy. He wants to bring peace. He wants to bring freedom. I'm going to show you some of my... Look at that little girl. Isn't she too cute? Who can reject that face? Oh, my word. That's my beautiful family. You know I'm the prettiest there. I'm the youngest of the seven. My brother, eldest brother over there, he just passed away last year, and we really miss him. My mom has got the white dress, and my dad standing behind her, and just love this family. They've just been amazing. They are a blessing and a joy. I look forward to seeing my mom, my dad, and my brother in my future. We are all saved. Mom and dad came to know the Lord as Savior. And so God did a great work in our hearts and in our lives. We are not the same people. That's my sister Denise. She was the first one to come to know the Lord as Savior. She's wearing the blue dress at the back. And that's my pastor. I can't wait to meet him. He was called Old Pastor Kadali because my brother-in-law was also a pastor at the church at the time, and he was David Kadali. Old Pastor taught me to love the Word and to memorize Scripture. And so I can't wait to tell him that he had just done amazing things in my heart and in my life. That is the church that we went to. I'm one of the little ones at the bottom there. The cutest, I'm sure. And that is where I grew up in Pine Road. That's not our car. We never had cars back then. But that's me and my niece. And so what I want to touch on today is just to draw your attention to three characters in the book of Esther. And the first one is King Xerxes. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. But we see in the chapter in the book of Esther that he was furious. He was angry because he was humiliated and embarrassed by being rejected by the queen. And in Esther 1, verse 12, it says, but Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command brought by his eunuchs. Therefore, the king was furious and his anger burned within him. See, the king did not take the rejection lightly. I always believe that God will fight for us. We sometimes, there's things that we don't have to confront. We just trust God to do his work. Amen? And he's good like that. When I was reading through the chapters of Esther, Mark and I were chatting about it, and I told Mark, the king was onwordig, man. See, all that drama because she refused to flaunt herself. But Mark took me to the law. There were serious consequences when refusing the king. And I'm reminded of the many men and women who gave up their lives for our country. Others continue to fight to make our country a better place to live in. People were angry at the injustice and stood up. Others withdrew. I withdrew. I felt like I had no voice. Who's even going to listen to me? But God wants us to stand up. And you know how we're going to stand up in the next election? By going to vote. Because we're going to hear from God and we're going to do what he tells us to do. And we're going to believe for change in our country. We're not going to believe with the others that says this country is corrupt, this country is going to the dogs. No, we are not. We are going to declare the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. God loves the people of South Africa and he wants us to rise up and he wants us to partner with him and experience all that he's given to us. We are a part of this country. We have to take responsibility. We have to take accountability. And we can do it by all of us coming into agreement and going out there to vote. But we're going to hear from the King of Kings. You see, we as Christians, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead now lives inside of us. And he speaks to us night and day. He speaks louder than we want to even hear. But we've got to rest. We've got to settle down. We've got to make the determination. I'm called of God. He wants to speak, and I am going to hear him. People were angry at the injustice and stood up. We can have a righteous anger that says, I'm going to make a difference with my vote this time around. We can't sit on the sidelines and do nothing. We can't complain about the state of our country when we don't vote. Many of you could probably relate to my story. And I know that there are many who has experienced worse than me. But we all deal with things differently. And God wants to bring healing to our souls. He wants us to experience the joy and the freedom and the love that he has given to us. Let us not shy away. Let us not sit down any longer and shut up. With our vote, we can speak. I never stood up. I thought I had no voice. But what I learned over the years is that God never wastes a struggle or a trial. But he uses it to bring order, restoration, transformation, and freedom. We are to have a righteous anger for the state of our country, and we can do it by casting our vote. More and more I realize that there's an enemy out to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10 verse 10 says, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The enemy tried to steal our voices. The enemy tried to shut us up. But God had another plan to bring restoration. Satan can only ever steal, kill, and destroy when we agree with his tactics. When we believe that we are worthless, good for nothing, unworthy, inadequate, we give him all the power and we sit down and shut up. Our agreement with him, our thoughts and feelings allow him access and make us feel hopeless, and then we act hopeless. Ephesians 6 verse 12 says, "For we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers." So we are no longer going to fight the people, but we're going to fight the spirit behind them. And we're going to trust the Lord to bring great transformation. I'm excited about being here this time in my life. And I'm excited for all of us to do what God has called us to do, and is to stand up. Sometimes our anger or our fury can result in a good thing. The king was extremely angry and made a ruling that Queen Vashti had to step down to teach women a lesson in submission. And then Esther was called for such a time as this. I believe that we are all Esthers in this generation today. We are called for such a time as this, and we are going to step up. Step up. We're going to be bold and courageous, and we are going to honor God in the process. God has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. We can do whatever He tells us to do. He doesn't send us out there without help. He provides for us. He strengthens us. He equips us. He gives us wisdom to fight the battle, to run the race. Amen. In the lesson to teach women a lesson, a woman named Esther rises up and brings deliverance to the Jews, God's people. When God raises up one, puts down one, He raises up another. In Esther 2, verse 17, the king loved Esther more than all the other women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. So he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. You see, God knows when to put down one and raise up another. And then in Psalm 75, verse 7, he says, "But God is the judge," it says. He puts down one and exalts another. To the woman of God, God wants to use us. He wants to anoint us, or we are anointed to do what He's called us to do. Right. We have a voice, a strong voice. Yeah. I wish I knew then what I know now. I would have stood up for myself. Let's be an Esther and step out boldly, expecting to make a difference by casting our vote. Esther had to prepare herself for her meeting with the king. Our preparation to vote is to inquire of the king. Find out who the candidates are, what do they stand for, and are they in line with God's word. And God is going to give us the wisdom to do that. I didn't fight back then, but I can now by casting my vote. With great wisdom. With intentionality. Let's not complain about the state of our country. Let's do something together. And all of us, every one of us, can do something. This was a time when there was a time when we had no voice. We had to shut up and sit down no longer. We are children of the King, the Most High God. And we get to partner with Him. He tells us what to do, and we go ahead and we do it. May our voices be heard with our decision to vote. 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14, we hear this all the time. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will hear from heaven and heal their land. There's a call for God's people to seek His face. As believers, we must take time to hear His voice. John 10 verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and another's they will not follow." If you are born again, you are His sheep and you hear His voice. He always wants to guide us. He always wants to direct us. He wants to show us the way that we should go. But we need to calm down. We need to wait. We need to listen. He's always there. He will never leave us nor forsake us. John 16 verse 13, "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, which is in you, has come," He is there, He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. Right now, God wants us to know as the body of Christ what he is doing in this country. And he wants to help us make the right mark as we go and vote. James 2 verse 14 says, what does it profit, my brethren, and if someone says he has faith but does not have works, can faith save him? And then James 2 verse 20, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? You see, we have the measure of faith to believe God for supernatural breakthrough in our country. We have all the faith we need. We don't have to conjure up faith. We don't have to make faith happen. We have it already. Our faith coupled with our action to vote will bring about the transformation we need. It's all about God. It's all about Jesus. So don't disqualify yourself. You have a voice, and let your voice be heard. Everybody else was always better than me. I never thought I qualified for anything. I was never good enough, and therefore I never fought for anything. I gave up very early on in my life. I had no voice. But guess what? God saves the best for last. I believe that we are the best. We're in the best time of our lives. God is going to use us mightily for the extension of his kingdom to make a difference in the world around us. We're going to stand up because he's going to be with us. John 2 verse 10 in the Message says, everybody I know begins with their finest wines, and after the guests have had their fill, brings in the cheap stuff. But you've saved the best till now. Every one of us are the best. God chose us to be here at this time. Let us not waste our time. Let us seek the Lord. And let us do what he's called us to do. I've heard it said that God doesn't call the qualified, but he qualifies the call. And I know that. I know that. And then we have Mordecai, Esther's uncle and advisor. Esther 2 verse 10 to 11, Esther had not revealed her people or family, for Mordecai had charged her not to reveal it. And every day Mordecai paced in front of the court of the woman's quarters to learn of Esther's welfare and what was happening to her. And then in Esther 4, and Mordecai told them to answer Esther, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? See, Mordecai was Esther's adoptive father, also her confidant, her advisor, and cheerleader. And Mordecai rebukes Esther. And he says to her, girl, if you don't do it, you will perish. And relief and deliverance will come from another place. Family, we are called to bring about change in our country. And we're going to do it because we're going to band together, and we're going to make things happen. Mordecai was instrumental in ensuring not only the safety of Esther, the Jewish people, but also exposing the treachery in the kingdom. You see, God is going to reveal things to us, and we're going to go out there, and we're going to obey. You and I can be a Mordecai and give wise counsel, encouraging those around us to vote for a better South Africa. As older people, let us make friends with some young ones. I love hanging out with young people. It makes me feel young. It just energizes me. Just inspires me. Hey? So let's make friends with the young ones. Young ones, find some lovely ladies like me, some of the amazing men, and ask us questions. Ask us questions. We've walked the journey, and we can respond. We can tell you where you need to go and where you need to get off. Amen. Let's learn from each other, young and old, together. You see, the Jews were about to be destroyed, and many are saying our country is going to the dogs. Let us not make that confession. Let us confess to others that our country is about to see great change, great turnaround, and breakthrough. God loves the people of South Africa. We are called and chosen of Him. So many things have happened. We've seen chaos and destruction, but we are still standing. Amen. God will not leave the people He loves empty-handed. God protected us and brought us to this place for such a time as this. So let's be a band of men and women standing together to play our part. Wisdom is needed at this time. And James 1:5-7 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to you. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. We have to be single-eyed. We have to be fully focused on God and Him alone. He gives wisdom liberally without reproach. He wants us to have wisdom. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to make the right decisions at this time and at any time of our lives. I sense the Lord calling us to prayerfully and carefully cast our vote. He wants to speak more than we want to hear Him. I sense the Lord saying to us, seek me. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. Believe that you hear from God because He wants you to hear Him more than you do. And cast your vote with confidence. Once you've heard what the Lord has spoken to you about, what His direction He's taking you in, you believe it and you do it. You see, if God needs God to give us a million confirmations about something that we are grappling with, He will do that. So don't quit and don't give up. We are called for such a time as this. Don't count yourself out. And don't limit what God can do in us and through us. Let your anger for the state of our country cause you to inquire of the Lord and obey. Wait for God to speak. And do not doubt when you hear Him. God will confirm what He wants to say if you are willing to wait. Psalm 27 verse 14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Lamentations 3 verse 26. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Honor God with your vote. Don't sit on the sidelines. Let's walk in unity and do this together. Psalms 133 verse 1-2. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. Family, it's time for us to forget the things which are behind and to press on to the prize of the high calling. God wants to do a new thing in our hearts and in our lives. He's poured out His wisdom, His knowledge. He's given us His Spirit. He's strengthening us. He's empowering us. And He loves us unconditionally, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our country is not going to the dogs. We are rising up. Things are about to change. Let us be expectant. Let's expect the supernatural. Let's trust God more than ever. Because we can't trust man, but we can trust him. We can trust his faithfulness. We can trust his generosity. We can trust his power. He's given us authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, and they shall by no means in any way harm us. You and I are called for such a time as this. Now, I know many of you have gone through worse things than I can even imagine. But you know what? We are here now. And God is going to help us to confront the stuff that is holding us back from reaching our full potential, from standing out, from being bold and courageous. And so can I just pray for us in closing? Let's stand. Amen. Lord, we just thank you. You are a good God. I thank you that you speak. You speak loud and you speak clear. I thank you that your thoughts towards us are good. They outnumber the sand on the seashore. Father, we lift up to you that areas of discrimination in whatever area people are struggling right now, struggling to forgive, struggling to let go, struggling with the guilt, the shame, the condemnation, the poverty, the lack, struggling with not being seen and not being heard. We lift it up to you, Lord, and we say we hand it to you. We cast our cares upon you because you care for us. You said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Father, we say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your great love for us. Thank you that we're not here by accident, but by divine appointment. Thank you that we are unique. We are different. We are chosen. We have different colors, but we are loved by you. You love us, Lord, with an everlasting love. Every one of us are chosen. Every one of us are called of you, anointed of you to do what you've called us to do. Father, help us to hear you. We want to honor you by doing what's right. We want to honor you with our vote, Lord. And so we cry out, Lord, help us to hear and make the right decisions. We thank you for great change in our country. Things are changing, Lord. We thank you for the breakthrough. We thank you for the change. We thank you for the deliverance, the restoration, the transformation. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We thank you for every promise that you've made. No weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against us in judgment we shall condemn, because this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and his righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. The blessings of the Lord make truly rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Lord, we need you more than ever, and we know that you are here for us, strengthening us, Father God, inspiring us, speaking to our hearts. And I declare that we're not only hearers of your word, but we are doers as well. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.